like to invite you this morning over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together in your house. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, once again, we do thank you for your presence, and we do pray for the filling and guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you would, again, Lord, be highly exalted and lifted up, and that our lives would be empowered by your grace and your power to be the witnesses you've called us to be and to enjoy the salvation you've given to us. Bless, guide, and direct. Build Northwood, Lord, and all your churches for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply "The Exceeding Greatness of His Power to Usward." That's important. The exceeding greatness. God, when something exceeds, it goes over and above, right? And so if you ever been pulled over and the police officer says, "You've exceeded the speed limit," right? You've gone over and above. That's not a good thing. Amen. That's not a reward. But when it comes to the glory and the grace of God, it is a good thing to understand that he gives us abundantly more than we can ever even imagine or think. And so God wants us to understand our position and our relationship with him this morning. And so first of all, we're going to consider the key to all of God's blessings. That's important for all of his people. And by the way, we need to know that so we can share that with a lost and dying world, that they too also might enjoy the eternal life that God has given to us. And then secondly, the dispensation of the fullness of times. And by the way, we are in it. Amen. The dispensation of the fullness of times. That happened right after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been in that dispensation. And so we've got great blessings because of that. And then thirdly, the pursued possessions of believers. The pursued possessions of believers. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 1. And let's look at the key to all of God's blessings, particularly for believers, as we consider our text this morning. Notice what he says here in verse 1. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God." This was not Paul's idea, amen? God got his attention. In fact, Paul's idea was completely opposite of what God's idea was. Paul thought, well, listen, I'll do God a favor by destroying this group called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll just do away with that. He didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ until God approached him, amen, and got his attention. By the way, that's the same truth for everybody. God has to get our attention because we naturally go our own way, and then through salvation, God helps us to understand our need for eternal life, and then we make the choice, right? We say, "Lord, I want to put my faith and trust. I see that you are the way and the only way to heaven and the only way to the truth." And so that was Paul, and he's saying here, "I want you to know something. I've been placed in the ministry as an apostle by the will of God." Notice this: "to the saints which are at Ephesus," so he's specifically writing to them, "and to the faithful in Christ Jesus," to those who are faithful throughout all the ages, to those who are wanting to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to faith in Christ, it's more than just making a profession in the Lord Jesus Christ. God changes our lives. Listen, church attendance is important, but if that's all the Christianity we have and it doesn't go outside these walls, we're in trouble. Amen. I mean, we're not going to be the kind of testimony that God wants us to be. Certainly that the world will have no interest. What is the difference that God makes in our lives? And that, of course, begins with salvation and the love of God that he sheds abroad in our hearts, that we might carry that out into a lost and dying world. And by the way, also into our family. So here we find
that the Lord is writing to the believers at Ephesus, but also to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, let me ask you this question. What is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you the faithful? Because that's who he's writing to. Are you not those who have just simply put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you faithful to the Lord? That's who he's writing to the faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, listen, in Christ Jesus. And if not, why not? Amen. If not, if we are not faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, why not? And there could be many reasons. You might be able to say, well, I just don't have the ability. God never asked us to have the ability. We just have to have a desire to present ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to have your will and your way. Not my will, but your will in my life. I want to follow you. I don't want to follow what I think. That'll get me in trouble, won't it? That'll get us all in trouble. We will go further away from the truth as much as a saved child of God can love the Lord. If we do things our way or the way that we think and not what God has said, we'll walk contrary to the ways of the Lord. You remember when the disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven on a town that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? What did the Lord say to them? Hey, wait a minute. Ye know not of what spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to seek and to save. Those who are lost. And so God wants us to have a desire to allow the Lord to guide us into his faithfulness. So listen, the faithfulness comes by the Lord Jesus Christ, the same way salvation did. How much work did you do to get saved? If you did anything, it's disqualified. Who did all the work? The Lord Jesus Christ. Is it a gift? Who paid for it? The Lord did, right? God did. And by the way, listen, and how do we receive that gift? Humbly and graciously, because we didn't do anything for it. And so likewise also, our eternal life is the same exact way God will give it to us. When we talk about eternal life, we're talking about a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's no doubt, when you put your faith and trust in his work that's a gift to us, you're eternally the Lord's. You are a child of the King, right? A child of God. But wait a minute, our faithfulness is not dependent upon us, but upon the Lord, or we're looking to the wrong person. And boy, I tell you what, Paul throughout the whole New Testament focuses in on that and tries to help the believer understand. Listen, the Galatian believers started off in the Spirit, but they worked their way back over to the flesh. Then they started looking at what they were doing or what they weren't doing to justify them. And Paul said, man, I'm afraid of you. The Apostle Paul said, you scare me, is what he's saying. I'm afraid of you. Hey, how did you start this whole thing with the Lord? Did you start it by the works of the flesh or by the Holy Spirit? And of course, the only way to do it is by the Holy Spirit. So look at verse 2 as he's speaking to these believers here. In fact, let's look at verse 1 real quickly again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So how is this working out here when you consider this? This grace to the Lord, who's it coming from? Does it not say from the Lord Jesus Christ himself? It's not something that we conjure up. It's not something that we work up. This is a work that God brings into the life of the believer. And so this is important of how faithfulness arises in the life of an individual who knows the Lord. Verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with some spiritual blessings. No, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And where are they? In heavenly places in Christ. Where are the blessings of the Lord? They're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't need more effort. We need more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God wants us to walk with him. He wants us to seek him. And how does that happen? Well, it happens only every Sunday morning. Right? I mean, that's all. You just wait Monday through Saturday. You just hang on till Sunday. No, every day we call upon the Lord and we say, Lord, I need you today. Amen. I don't want to do things my way. I want to walk in your will and your way. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. That will get us in trouble every time. Right. And by the way, this is a beggar's trade. Does that offend anybody? A beggar says, I need what you have. I don't have it. A beggar says to the Lord, Lord, I need you. Amen. The prideful says, I'll see you next Sunday. Maybe. If I feel like it. And the word of God and the knees never touch the ground. Amen. And the word of God is never opened throughout the whole week until maybe on Sunday. Is that a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that there are people that have been supposedly in Christ for years that maybe don't even pray throughout the week? That's a sad commentary, isn't it, for the life of a believer, somebody who professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we live without the Lord? Where is our life hidden if it's not in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's certainly not in the world. It's certainly not in the news. It's certainly not on the internet. Listen, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Word. And here's the sad commentary that maybe there are more people committed to the news and to the internet than they spend time in prayer and in the Word of God. And so the Lord is saying, listen, there's something out of kelter there, and there's something that will be off, and a lot will be missed in our walk with the Lord in our relationship. We won't have the strength needed if all we are fair weather Christians. In other words, we're just going to serve the Lord as long as the sun is shining like it is today. But then we won't be ready when the storms of life come. And listen, even the world can rejoice and have a happy day if the sun is shining. But what happens to their joy when the storms of life come? It's out the window. And that ought not to be the testimony of a child of the King. Question, was the Apostle Paul, who's an example for us, was the Apostle Paul on topside even when he was writing from prison? Did he still have the joy of the Lord? Absolutely he did. And that is the kind of testimony that glorifies the Lord. Did Paul say, were you impressed with my effort to put a smile on my face and write a happy letter? No, he said that came from the Lord. He said without that, it wouldn't work. So notice what happens here. He says, verse 4, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So this is, our blessings are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, God predetermined for his children in eternity past where our joy and fulfillment would come from for his children. Now, there are two groups of people. There are the people of the world that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have no interest in the things of God. And then there are the people of God who should have an interest and a desire to grow in the grace of God and to learn more about the gift that God has given to us so that we begin to understand it and use it to function in a way in our lives that changes and transforms our lives. Amen? Listen, there's a lot of technology out there that's good technology. You can pick up a cell phone. I wonder how much of our cell phones we really know that we might be able to utilize. There's all different kinds of new things coming out that if we learned, maybe might make our lives a little bit easier and easier to schedule things and to write things down and to understand how to do things. And those are good things. But even more important than the temporal things of this world that are passing away is our relationship with the Lord that's eternal, that we really need to know about to function in life. More important than anything that we can ever use in this world is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, and I'm not trying to scare us here, but the truth is we are just one day from being non-functional, aren't we? We are just one day from getting some bad news about our health, aren't we? We are just one day. My goodness, listen, an accident can happen and can just devastate an individual in many ways. It can happen. We think of car accidents, of course, but there are all different kinds of other accidents that can happen just around our house where we think we're safe, and can ruin our lives and we not even know it. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had no clue. My carbon monoxide detector went off. Well, I didn't smell anything, and I know carbon monoxide's odorless, and you can't see it. So the first thought was, well, maybe there's a problem with the detector. I mean, why would it be going off? It's kind of a crazy thing. So we placed the detector, and we were good for a few days, and then the thing went off again. And we didn't even know, but the fire department came out and had us get out of the house. It said, it's dangerously high in here, and he called it the silent killer. It will just kill you. And he said, anybody have a headache or anybody tired? Nope. And he said, it's unbelievable dangerous in there. And so it ended up being just a backflow from our hot water, gas hot water heater. When the air conditioning turned on, there was a cobweb there. It did something to the pilot light. But here's the whole thing. We can be in a dangerous place and just not even know it. And the most important thing that we have, that we need more than anything else, is the Lord Jesus Christ and a walk with Him, a life with Him. Listen, being found faithful doesn't happen by accident. Just like doing well in a classroom, you have to apply yourself. You have to study, right? You have to open up the books. You don't just make an A unless it's a ridiculous class. If it's a serious class and you don't know about it, you're going to have to learn about it. And so likewise, our relationship with the Lord is very important. I would dare say, correct me if I'm wrong, it is the most important thing in our lives. And so how much time do we give to the most important thing in our lives that's eternal? So notice what he says here in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us. Isn't that great? He's chosen us, but in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what God says. He says that we should be. Now listen, here's one thing that I bet you all of us know. If I was a Benton Baptist, amen? Here's one thing that we all know. None of us are perfect. That doesn't take rocket science. But God wants us to walk holy. But he certainly doesn't want us to look to ourselves to walk holy. Who would you think he would have us look to for the strength that we need to walk upright? To him, right? To the Lord. And so this idea when we say, well, I'm just a failure. Please tell me something new. That's not new. Everybody, any saved child of God knows you and I don't have the strength to do it. So why would we even try to do that? God says, you've got to bring it to me. I've laid it out. I have given all these things to you, but you have to ask. He already knows we have need of it, but we have to ask him for it. So how determined are we to be willing to call upon the Lord to give us what he's promised? And we know God's not a liar. So question, everything God has promised, will he perform it? Will he give it? Does he want to give it? Does he love us? These are important things. Why would we not ask him? What are we afraid of? You know what? It's not a bad thing. And I've fallen into this camp years ago. You know, don't ask God for patience. Because he's going to give you a trial, right? You don't serve a God that's waiting to club you over the head. Lord, I want to be patient and long-suffering in a way that would honor and glorify you. So don't raise your hand. In fact, let me state it like this. I would dare say everybody in this room has gotten angry before in a way that dishonored the Lord. And maybe even dishonored ourselves in doing that. In fact, walked away saying, I wish I had never said that or done that. Wouldn't you say? We've all, why? We're all in the same humanity, amen? We have the same struggles and the same battles. And here's the wonderful, the truth is, God knows that. God knows that, and he wants to help us with that. If we'll just give it to him, right? What does that mean? That means, Lord, calling on him, I need you to do this for me. Do you know that honors him? That puts us in a place where he says, that's what I've been waiting for. Now I'm going to help you. You want to follow after me. You want to do what I've asked. Not make these excuses. Well, I can't do that. Well, do you think the Lord knew that before he saved us? That we can't do it? Absolutely. So is that an excuse? Well, now I don't have to do it because I can't do it. No, that's not an excuse. That's not the way the Lord works. So again, notice what he says here. In eternity past, he's already planned our lives for the saved, for the redeemed, on how we can live for him. Notice this, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We are the good pleasure of his will. Isn't that good? You are pleasing. I don't understand it. I'm just talking about myself, okay, not you. Myself, I don't understand how I am well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord. I don't. I know me. And I know what I was before Christ, amen? I will tell you this, there was not one thing lovable about me. I was all about me. And I didn't want to disrespect the Lord. I don't know why, but I did everything else that did. Amen. It wasn't a good thing. But God knew that, and he planned out. By the way, all of us, before Christ, we failed him. In many ways, we've done things that were dishonorable to him. And he says, I am pleased with you. You are my child as a redeemed child of the Lord. He knew you were going to trust him as Savior. Amen. That's what this whole idea of predestination means. When you consider the word predestination, when you consider the word election, I'll just put it in the foreknowledge of God. He foreknew all these things before they ever came to pass. That's why God can write the end before the beginning, the end was already written. And God did that. And no man, no individual, no group of men are going to thwart or change God's plan.
Amen.
Isn't that good? We can have confidence in that. So how about we put confidence in the one who holds the whole world, time, and the whole plan of man in his hands and trust him and say, Lord, I'm wanting to trust you in a fresh way. I'm wanting to trust you in a biblical way. I want to trust you and watch you work in my life like never before. And by the way, listen, did Paul ever get to the place where he said, oh, that's just elementary? Oh, that's just that. No, he said, I'm pressing toward the mark. He says, I'm not living like I've arrived. I want to grow. How long did the Apostle Paul want to grow? Until he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to draw nearer to God every day. And we also have that opportunity. So again, notice what he says here, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, this is all that he foreknew. To what extent? Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory, listen, of his grace. I promise you, the flesh does not glorify the Lord to the praise of his glory by his grace. The flesh doesn't do that. And by the way, listen, the quickest way to defeat yourself is to think that it's on you. The quickest way to get frustrated and to give up before it ever gets started is to just think it's all on you. You have to have this new life. And by the way, have we been given a new life?
Yes.
Let me try that again. Have we been given a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, listen, God says, I want to build that life. He wants all of us to grow in that life, and that the old life will get further and further away, and the new life will get brighter and brighter every day. Isn't that what God wants for us? Instead of us just kind of living in the middle, right? That's kind of like not being hot or cold. That's like kind of being lukewarm. Will that honor the Lord? Well, I just won't, I'm not going to do this, that, and the other. That's not the question. Are we growing in the grace and love of God? See, that's the whole, well, I don't do this and I don't do that and I do some of these things and I do some of these other things that are good. No, that's not what God's asking. He's asking, how is our walk, what is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ all about? Is it all about what I think or what God has commanded and directed us to walk in? These are the things that are important. So again, notice what he says here in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of whose grace?
Amen.
His grace. See, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But listen, it has to be active. We can say, well, you know, salvation is not about me. Well, that would be a true statement, but it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ doing in our own personal lives? And by the way, all we have to do is be willing to do business with the Lord. Lord, I am presenting myself before you a living sacrifice, as Romans 13 tells us to do. Here you are, Lord. You bought my life. Did he not? He paid dearly for it. And here's the crazy thing. He just wants to bless us and bring us happiness and joy that comes from him and not the world.
Amen.
Let me ask, just between you and the Lord, how often do you look for the joy of God, not in the things that are passing away, but just in him? Just in him to find fulfillment, contentment. And it's joy is not in this world the way it is in the Lord. There is joy in this world, but it's temporal. It's like a roller coaster ride. You want to know where the world finds its joy? When it's getting ready to do something exciting. You want to know when the world's not happy as soon as that event passed. And what are they looking for? The next event. Well, that's not the way the Lord wants us to walk. He wants us to be in Him all the time. And so he says this in verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in some wisdom. No, in all wisdom and prudence. And prudence, that means doing things that are lawful, that are expedient, that are upright, that are a benefit, right, to other people, especially to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to do things what are upright and prudent is what he's telling us. The world doesn't like that word, prudent. They think that's beneath them. They think that's a slam. No, it's a good thing to be pure. Amen. It's a good thing to be upright before the Lord. But you know why? Because I don't look for my joy in what the world looks for its joy in. The world looks for joy in things that are destructive and that are and would bring destruction in their lives and the lives of their families. So he's revealed this to us and wants us to enjoy it. So as we consider this, we find this dispensation of the fullness of time here. So notice this, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed, where?
In himself.
Amen. Why? Listen, God doesn't want us to look for that in us. We don't have it. I don't doubt that you love the Lord. I would dare say all the disciples loved the Lord, wouldn't you? They were following Him. They made a great sacrifice. Do you know what they decided to discuss right before the Lord was getting ready to go to the cross? You remember? Who was the greatest among them? They decided to have a conversation. Look, who was the greatest among them? And you know what the Lord did? He brought a little child in front of them. He said, when you have faith like that, like a little child, you want to talk about going back to kindergarten school. See, they had walked with the Lord and missed what the Lord was talking about. And you know, how is it possible if they missed it that we can miss it as well? Is it possible for a saved child of God that loves the Lord to go all through life and miss what God really wants us to do? It's possible. But God is reminding us this morning, don't miss out. How important is what God is saying to us, to us personally? How important are we going to receive this? So He says in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. It's all about the Lord in Him. And so this is that dispensation of the fullness of time since the resurrection that the Lord is doing a new work in His people individually. And He wants us to enjoy this. And so God is wanting to reveal Himself. You know where He's wanting to reveal Himself? In your life and mine. But if we're trying to do it by our own effort, you know what we're going to do? We're going to reveal ourselves. Fathom this thought. I can work hard to be kind to people. How about you? I would dare say you had to work hard sometime in your life to be kind to somebody that didn't like you and you didn't like them somewhere in life. I don't know where, somewhere in life. And you could not wait to get away from that person so you can just let off some steam somewhere and be out of their sight. That's ours. That's not the Lord's. You know, the Lord's love has a genuine compassion and concern for that individual. I will just tell you, there's been many times where I'm just sitting there smiling, grinning and bearing, just trying to be nice and can't wait, right? Can't wait, especially as a lost person. It's happened as a saved person too. And I will just tell you, in my youth, in my ministry, I was not as patient as I should have been because I was on my patience. You know what happens to my patience? It runs out. You know what happens to God's patience? It doesn't run out. That's the difference. If you've lost your patience, realize this, it was yours. See, how many children, infants, can a mother keep up with to change the diapers? Some parents are good. I don't know these women that have like more than two babies, but they do. That's a lot of diapers to juggle. And out of love, I'm sure they can go for so long. But with the Lord, there's no limit. With the Lord, there is no... Look at the Apostle Paul. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. All these things happened over and over and over again in his life. And he never quit the Lord. He always served the Lord. Question, was that just for him? Or was that for all of his people? Was Paul not teaching the disciples to follow him as he followed Christ the same way? Does Paul not tell us in his letters that you and I have been given the same grace he had? The only difference was he was called to be an apostle. That was a special calling, but we still have the same Holy Spirit. So are we willing to look to the Lord? That's the real question. And his strength and his power. So he tells us here at the bottom of verse 10 that he would gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, verse 11, in whom also, listen to this, we have obtained an inheritance. That's good. You and I, listen to this, we have obtained. That's a different word than attained. Amen. So if you attain something, that's a goal you've achieved, if you attain something. So if you're working at a high jump, and I don't know what a good height is to jump a high, 2 feet's good enough for me, but if you're trying to jump a record, you've got a certain mark you're reaching for, right? And then when you make that mark, you say, I've achieved that, or I've attained that. But when you obtain something, it's given. It's given when you obtain, right? If you obtained an inheritance, it was given to you. It wasn't yours, but you obtained it. It was given. That's what, see, God wants to give us, listen, more than just salvation. He wants to give us his life that we might trust him in how many situations and circumstances by his patience, kindness, and gentleness, his spirit, right? But if we are, the sign of the flesh is evident. It does not glorify the Lord. It's not kind, is it? The flesh. You can shake your head north and south. It's not. We all have the flesh, don't we? We've all been unkind somewhere in life, to one degree or another, and walked away feeling bad. And that's not what the Lord wants for us. He wants to be our life. You know, we can do things without the Lord. We can do all kinds of things without the Lord. It won't glorify him, and we'll be miserable. But we can do all things in Christ Jesus also. Amen. And it will glorify him in the Lord, in his spirit. And see, this is what the church needs today. We might think, you know what we need? We need to do this and do that. And man, we need to pack out this house. What good is that if God's people aren't walking with him? Who's doing all that? The Lord begins with us first. Did he not say he would build his church? That's where the truth is at. But if we're going around saying, well, this is what we need to do, we're not looking to him. I can promise you that. We're looking at what we can do instead of what God wants to do, has purpose to do, has planned and promised to do in each and every one of our lives. That's what will glorify the Lord. Are we willing to allow the Lord to let him have his way with us? I'm willing to be a sacrifice, right? We watched a movie last night, The Forge. And this boy had a chip on his shoulder, didn't he, at the beginning? He played a good part because you didn't like him, right? You didn't want him. He looked like trouble. And I think maybe he was 19 or 20 years old. I can't remember how old it was. And he came into this coffee shop and he liked the little girl behind the counter and he was going to talk to her. He didn't want to buy any coffee. He just wanted to try to get a date with her or what have you. And then this man comes out you thought was the manager. And he saw what was going on. He said, do you want to buy coffee or something like that? No, you need to. I'm talking to her. And he said, that's my daughter. he just put a quick stop to that. Anyway, long story short, he needed the Lord. Amen. And he ended up getting saved. And then everything changed, and he came back and apologized like a year later to that man and his daughter. And they didn't remember him, but they did remember the incident. And here it was. He said to the Lord, I am giving you my life. He was like most kids are. He was a computer gamer, right? He was just big into the games. He had a big old stack of games, and that's all he was doing. In fact, he showed up late because he was playing his games late at night for his first day or second day on the job. And that wasn't a good thing, was it? So there he is, and he's saying, Lord, I am willing to get rid of anything and everything. He was in his bedroom, and his eyes turned right over to those games. And he looked away from that, and he said, Lord, I'm willing to do something like that, anything. And he looked back, and he says, really, Lord? He knew. And you know what? He got rid of them all. See, it was more important for him to have a relationship with the Lord than the things of this world that are passing away, that are things that are fun just for a moment, but that are not eternal. And if we're not careful, we can be putting things in our lives that are not bad necessarily, but they are instead of the Lord, instead of God. And we can, not bad things, and we can say, well, I'm not a bad person, but I don't have time for God. I don't have time to pray. And I certainly don't want him to tell me how to walk. And I certainly don't want to walk. I mean, after all, that's just the way I am. You ever heard that? You ever said that? Don't say anything. That's just the way. Well, God knows that, but he saved us from just the way I am. Because if I was just to stay the way I am without the Lord, I'd die and go to hell. I am so glad God didn't leave me to be just the way that I am. And he's called me to be like, he's called us to be like him. Hasn't he? Has he called us to be like him? Yes. To follow after him? What does that mean? Just to show up on Sunday? Or does that mean every moment of every day in my life? So very quickly, as we go on, he says this in verse 11 again, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Remember, this is the foreknowledge of God, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Who is that? Who is that? That's the Lord, isn't it? Look at verse 11. This is us as a saved child, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Have you obtained an inheritance?
Yes.
Amen? Being predestinated. This is God's foreknowledge. This is his plan for his children, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's God. Amen. God is saying, this is my purpose for your life. Notice that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. God wants you and I to be to the praise of his glory. That's what it says there. And I promise you, anything to do with self is not to the praise of his glory. So as soon as we start doing things the way we think and against the word of God, we're walking contrary. And here's the thing. God is sharing this for us to consider our own ways. I won't stand before you. You won't stand before me. But we will all stand before the Lord. We'll all give an account to him. You can say, well, you know, this is what I think. That'll get you in trouble. This is what I believe. If it's not in the word of God, we better, especially if it's contrary to the word of God, we better throw it away. Or we won't be found faithful with the Lord. Notice verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So God brings in the Holy Spirit. That's who works everything in our lives. He's our counselor. He's our helper. That's why the Lord said it is expedient for me to go away or the helper won't come. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Didn't he say that? You remember he said it's expedient that I go away. They didn't want him to go. But he said, I've got to go to pay the price, but then that the Holy Spirit would come into our lives. Notice here, again, what we've obtained. We've obtained the Holy Spirit of promise. By the way, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his, again, to the praise of his glory. And that's on this side. It is on the other side of eternity when we see the Lord face to face. But God didn't say just wait, just fall apart here on this side of eternity and I'll make you all right when you get there. That's not God's plan. God did not save us to make us failures. God did not give us his life and call us to be to the praise of his glory and to do it in our strength. You know why? Because it's not by our strength. It's by whose strength? Are you sure? It's by the Lord's strength. And so why would we sell ourselves short? Listen, this is revival here. This is where God works in our lives. Or we could just say, well, that was okay. You know, when's he going to get done? My stomach's growling. Some people think that, right? And I won't keep you long. But if we're not careful, we miss what God's trying to do, what he wants to do in our lives, that we might enjoy our relationship with the Lord. Very quickly, we'll finish up with these verses here. This is the pursued possessions of the believers that we can pursue. Wherefore, remember, we've been given the earnest of our inheritance in verse 14, right? The redemption, the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, verse 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. This has already begun working in the lives of these believers. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What for? That the God, listen, what is he praying about? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, they're already saved. Why do they need more wisdom? For everyday life. Why do they need more revelation? More understanding. The aha moments in our walk with the Lord. In the knowledge of him. Is God not infinite? Is there not more things God needs to show us about himself? And that we should want to learn. To what extent? Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. More so than at the day of salvation. God wants us to understand how that we can actually rest. You know, Hudson Taylor. You remember Hudson Taylor? He was the missionary to mainland China. Everybody was on the coast, all the missionaries, and they were taking life kind of easy. He wanted to go where the gospel wasn't being preached. They laughed at him. One guy made friends with him, says, I'll support you in that. And they went into the inland area, and the Lord used him in a great and mighty way. He went through a lot. He suffered a lot. He did. Listen, he had one daughter. He had a wife and one daughter. They both died while he was over there. And before they died, though, he was dealing with this anger issue. He says, why do I lose my temper so shortly? And then he understood it was abiding in Christ and that he was already in Christ. If you're saved, are you in Christ? So do you have to pray to be in Christ if you're already in Christ? You don't have to. You're already there. So praise God, I'm in Christ, and now I have the Spirit of the Lord, don't I? And the light bulb clicked, nothing dramatically happened, but his whole life changed. He realized, I don't have to get angry. I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said there was a complete change. He was a good man. He was frustrated with his own self. He bit his tongue, all that good stuff, but he couldn't understand why he shouldn't have been gotten so short-tempered, and the Lord He already had that in the Lord, and he started to walk in that. And he wrote a letter back to his sister in England, and he explained it to her. He said, I don't know how to explain it. This is the passage that God gave me, and it set me free. And he was saved and serving in China for many years before that happened, but he learned something new, didn't he? So here's the question. Can we learn more about our walk with the Lord? I think if Hudson Taylor could, we can too. And so he says, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness, listen to this, of whose power? His power. To who? To usward, who believe, listen, according to the working of his mighty power. Do we want to believe the Lord according to his mighty power or ours? I'd rather believe his, wouldn't you? Mine's ultra limited, which he wrought in Christ. By the way, look at this power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right. Did you see what the Lord just did there? This power, this mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him, this power that's to usward, Did you read that in verse 19? This power and which he wrought in Christ, it's in us to overcome these things. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. That's a new revelation there. Or we could just kind of glaze right over it. Or we could just say this is intended for us to understand and to walk in it. It's not just like a history book. It is a history book. But it's a spiritual book that God illuminates and enlightens as we're seeking him. If we're not seeking him, oh, I heard it all before. Heard, that means nothing to me. Or does it mean something to me? To change my life. To walk in. So this exceeding greatness of his power that is to us word in verse 19, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. Aren't we in Christ also? That's where God wants us to be. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name, verse 21, that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Question, did he just say the same power in us? He did. If we can take hold of it, and if not, ask God. Lord, help me to take hold of that truth. Lord, what do I mean by that? To walk in it. To receive it as for me. Not just well, that was interesting. That was a nice message. No, that's intended for me to walk in. To experience the Lord. And then when we start seeing God doing those things, we say, do it again, Lord. You think he'll honor that prayer? Do it again. In fact, do more. Increase my coast. Right? The prayer of Jabez. Right? Increase my coast. So, he says, verse 21, for above all principality and power and might and dominion that and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, that's us, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's the Lord. Listen, this is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word. And God is saying, I've given that to all of my children. If you will receive it and trust me and believe me in it, I will fulfill this promise. Here's the real question. Do we want God to change us? That's the real question. Lord, do we want you to change us? If so, then the invitation is the Lord's and the opportunity is ours. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for all that you've given to us, beginning with salvation and your great power that you've given to us, word, that would be a praise and a glory to your name through our lives. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us a hunger and a thirst for you and your righteousness, that you would fulfill your will in our lives, and that we would experience your great grace, the life-changing grace that you've already given to us. May you activate it, and may we seek you in it, that you will fulfill that in our lives. Bless and build each one, Lord. And if there's somebody here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, Lord, speak to them as well. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.